Welcome everybody to another episode of the Unreasonable Art of Living podcast. I'm your host, Gael Monin, and as always, enjoy the music. Yeah, welcome back to another episode. Welcome, welcome. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, I hope you're doing fine wherever you are right now. I am currently in Helsinki. I'm here for, almost 2 weeks until March 13th. Really, really good to be back. And it's actually quite funny because in Vienna, in Austria, it's quite warm already around that time of the year, 15 degrees sometimes, and here in Helsinki it's still snowy, the sea is still frozen, but regardless, it's beautiful. The days have reached normal day hours again. Actually, let me check. Helsinki day hours. Currently, what do we have? Sunrise at 7, sunset at 6. Yeah, that's getting normal. So now it's actually quite fascinating. In Finland, you have like this very long, I think almost like starting October. So it accelerates really fast. So when it becomes getting darker the days, which starts around August, it's really fast. Like it almost like 5 minutes every day. Then you have November, December, January, very dark month during the year, where you have maybe in Helsinki 6 hours of daylight. But then the days become slowly better, and then it gets faster and faster and faster. And then it's already April and May, and you have reached really long days already. And then June, it's peak time, where you have like almost 21 hours to 21 hours of daytime, which is insane. Yes, that's Finland, like the land of extremes, I must say. And welcome back to this episode. It's going to be a flow episode again. And thank you for all the listeners who, you've been joining this and, supporting this podcast. Thank you so much. And if you are the first time listener or you haven't done so, make sure to subscribe it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, so you can always get notification when a new episode is out. All right. So this episode is going to be another trick, or kind of like a mind shift that really changed my perception about productivity and health and flow states in general. That actually, it was for me so a game changer to understand that actually how I actually tripled my productivity by doing less. And I when I learned this during my coaching training, I tried it immediately, and I've been kind of like doing it consistently ever since. Of course, there were some outliers when you had like longer days, we just have to grind through. But every time I do it, I think I mentioned this in previous episodes, I actually write it down in my Lumi app, in my notebook, in my journals, that it's never worth it. Even though you just have to do it sometimes, but let's say if I, 9 out of 10 times, I stick to this rule and I get so much more done, not just more done, but also like the quality is just so much better. And also like not the quality of the output, which is important, but just the quality of my life. It's the well-being, it's how your mental state is, how your body is, how your sleep is. It's just always worth it to stick to these kind of rules. And because they are rooted in science, we know it, and it's just us who are most of the time in our own way. And this programming we have been experienced for decades by, so schooling, society, and so forth. It's just like a bias we are living. And concretely, so this episode is really about how I tripled my productivity by actually doing less and creating more quality output. And this episode, we're going to actually watch. I found it so good. I thought, you know, how can I summarize this? But no, let's watch it together. It's like one of the videos by Ryan Doris. Is it Ryan Doris? Yeah, Ryan Doris. He's the CEO and co-founder of the Flow Research Collective. And it's one of the videos I have access to in the coaching program. I think it's not an issue to share it because it's also on YouTube. So all good. And I watched it, and there's many topics we're gonna watch it together now. It's 12 minutes. And then I'm gonna share with me my experience and how it really changed me, and how it really can change your way of thinking, how you think about work and output and time. So without further ado, actually, it's actually quite cool, this kind of format. I have almost like a guest without needing to invite him because, you know, this person is probably very busy and wouldn't even consider like joining this little micro podcast. Okay, let's watch it by Ryan Doris. And he talks about one of the most overlooked productivity superpowers. All right, let's look into it. It's 12 minutes. I'm going to mute it completely. I'm not going to comment it. I'm going to comment afterwards. And by the way, I will link any references and articles that support his claims in the show notes so you can read more about it. And what, without further ado, let's enjoy watching it. And, 12 minutes. Yes. Let's go.
The science says that the more you work, the less productive you are. Not only that, but by forcing yourself to work less hours, you can unlock a whole new set of productivity superpowers. Science shows that the thing suppressing your productivity is actually the number of hours per week that you're trying to be productive. I'm Ryan Doris, co-founder and CEO of Flow Research Collective, where we help thousands of professionals use flow state to turn 16-hour grindy days into ultra-productive 3 to 6-hour days. And I'm going to show you how to do the same in the next few minutes. A few years back, a friend of mine tried building a startup. He tapped his entire network, raising money from some of his closest friends and family members, and he secured $10 million in funding. Then one day, he woke up and he couldn't get out of bed. It was Lyme disease. And from there on, it was fever, chills, fatigue, nausea. His body ached all over. His brain and cognitive function broke down entirely. Imagine strapping into a roller coaster full of thrill and anticipation, only to jerk to a halt midway up the first climb. All of a sudden, he was on the hook to get a return for all of the most important people in his life, but could barely get himself out of bed. He was used to working 12-plus-hour days, but now he could barely manage 3 hours per day. That's all that his Lyme-ridden body and brain could tolerate. But something crazy started to happen. He noticed that as he was doing these 3-hour days, he started seeing more clearly. Things that previously seemed important became unimportant. Things he thought only he could do, he now realized he could pass off to others. He got more done than when he was putting in 12-hour days fueled by caffeine and burning the candle at both ends. What had happened here, according to the research, is the inverse version of Parkinson's Law. Parkinson's Law states that work expands to fill the space available for it. Now, due to the Lyme disease, my friend's work contracted to fill the small allotment of space available for it. And he ended up proving something that's critical to understand for flow and accessing flow state more consistently. Hours don't equal outcomes. The wildly successful people among us, whether it's Oprah Winfrey, Elon Musk, these folks are a testament to this. They are thousands of times more productive than peers or competitors, but they don't work 1,000 times more. They couldn't. That's literally impossible. You violate physics. They can only work double at most, maybe 100-hour weeks. Now, you may think it boils down to other things like leverage, capital, labor, code, or media, as some folks talk about, but that external leverage is a byproduct of something else, something deeper. There are other skills required, skills that my friend was forced to tap into that drive the success of his company. And paradoxically, the biggest blocker of productivity is thinking that time is the main thing that drives your productivity. Now, our minds find this stupefyingly counterintuitive, because of something called linearity bias. Linearity bias results in our brains believing that cause and effect relationships are linear, that one in equals one out. But research shows that the opposite is the case. Additional hours often lead to decreased total output. In other words, the more you work, the worse you work. Stress sets in and you perform worse and worse on increasingly pointless tasks. Exhaustion comes next and you make poorer decisions and mistakes that have to be cleaned up later. It's kind of like overwatering a plant. You think you're helping it by watering it all the time, but you're actually drowning it. Too much water or work is counterproductive. And as my friend discovered, fewer hours plus skills like elimination and prioritization equal more productivity. Now, what's even more counterintuitive is that the only way you can tap into these skills that are going to drive your productivity to its maximum threshold is by putting in place a forcing function on your hours, by limiting them down and forcing the hours you're working down into a compressed box. We call this work compression. Work compression is reducing the number of hours you work. And what that means is picking a specific number of hours that is much less than you currently work, and then committing to never, ever, no matter what, working over that amount. Out of necessity, you're forced to unlock the skills you need to amplify productivity exponentially instead of linearly. Now, there are three surprising reasons why this works. The first reason is something called perceived importance increases. Think of perceived importance as the degree to which you can clearly see what is actually important versus what is not important. Perceived importance allows you to prioritize dramatically better, such that you can sequence things in order of importance, eliminate things that are not going to produce results at all, and then better determine how to do the things that you have now better determined are most important. Now, what's even cooler about perceived importance is that research from Johannes Keller from Ulm University have found that perceived importance heightens access to flow state. That's because, in part, when the subjective assessment of a task's significance or value is high, you end up feeling more motivated to pay attention to it, to invest effort into it, and to sustain your focus, which all end up driving you into flow more deeply and for longer. And we know that flow, that state of being immersed in the task, deep in the zone, boosts productivity between 4 and 500%. But here's the thing, you can only tap into a 10 out of 10 level of perceived importance by forcing your hours down and voluntarily doing what my friend with the Lyme disease was forced into doing. Now, the second thing that happened to my friend, which will happen to you as you compress your hours, is that you will end up tuning what is called the challenge skills balance. You must perceive that your skills are sufficient to meet the perceived challenge. Too much challenge leads to overwhelm and anxiety, while too little challenge leads to apathy, to boredom. The best way to tune this balance is to exceed what you're normally capable of, about 4%. You want the challenge level of what you're doing to just slightly outstrip your current skill level. Increased challenge demands increased skills. Decreased hours increase the challenge and in turn force you to increase your skill level and tune the challenge skills balance, putting you in that sweet spot between boredom and anxiety, which is where flow is found. This combination of perceived importance and a well-regulated challenge skills balance doesn't just drive you into flow, it also intensifies the flow you experience. But as you do this, don't push too far. As my partner in Flow Research Collective, Stephen Kotler, says, you want to stretch, but not snap. To not snap, you have to stop. That is, you have to stop working, which leads us to the third benefit of work compression, which is recovery. We know that flow states happen as one stage in a four-stage cycle. And the flow cycle starts with struggle, then we have the release phase, then we have the flow state itself, and then at the back end, we have the recovery phase. The thing is, most people can't get into flow because they can't recover properly, and you probably resonate with this. It's likely fairly rare that you don't feel some level of overhanging productivity guilt, this sense of an obligation to produce, that you should be doing more and being more. But here's the thing. In the brain, it results in a constant drip of cortisol and norepinephrine, which puts our nervous system in a permanent low-grade state of fight or flight and sympathetic arousal. True time off only occurs when the constant gnawing obligation to work is put fully on pause. With work compression, you ban yourself from working. Regardless of what pops up, during those off hours, you're off the clock. And thus, you finally remove the obligation to work, to make progress, and you escape productivity guilt, which accelerates and deepens the recovery that you're able to engage with. We know from the psychological literature that when it comes to producing results over the long haul in any endeavor, consistency beats intensity. For example, the person who works out 2 days a week, every single week, for a whole year, is going to be dramatically further ahead than the person who works out ferociously every day for a month and then not for the rest of the year. So consistency beats intensity, and this also applies to flow. You get into flow more if you don't overdo the intensity. Underdo your time and flow slightly and you'll get more flow more consistently. So remember, recovery is part of the work. It isn't surrendering to fatigue, it's strategic resource replenishment. So how do we actually do all this? My friend was forced to do it because of the Lyme disease, but how do you do it? Voluntarily. So you can harness these benefits. To unlock 5x productivity, lock your work hours in a box and don't break the box. Think of it kind of like playing Tetris. The job is to achieve what you want within the fixed time allotment, not to simply spill over outside of that time allotment. And make sure the amount of hours you choose to work are less than the amount of hours that you're working right now. And then block your calendar during those hours. Mark those times as unavailable, as truly and fully off. Maybe 8 a.m. until 2 p.m., maybe it's 6 a.m. until 11 a.m. and you take the rest of the day off, whatever it is. You want to compress down the amount of hours you're allowing yourself to work. Shove it down into one box that's about half of the amount of hours you're currently doing. And of course, handle the basic digital hygiene to support you. Use focus mode on your phone and turn off all notifications. And then once you've done that, again, stick to these compressed hours no matter what, never allowing yourself to work past them. Once you can no longer resort to working more hours, a whole new mindset and paradigm starts to open up. And it opens through pain. And I'll give you an example of this. When I was scaling my first business, the amount of work that I had to do was just extreme. Everything from marketing, product, sales, operations, customer service, everything. But I had seen firsthand my friend's productivity exponentially increased because of the constraints of his Lyme disease. And he had told me how much of a game changer it had been. So I was determined to stick to a fixed allotment of hours, voluntarily taking on what he had taken on involuntarily. And I remember one day, about 2 days into this, I had a customer service email that I was halfway through writing. As my alarm rang at 4 p.m., which was my cutoff, I felt insane not finishing that email and taking an extra 10 minutes to finish writing it and hit send. But I said to myself, look, I'm running this experiment. I'm gonna do it. Close the laptop halfway through writing the email and headed home for the day in pain, assuming that that customer was gonna want the refund in the end. I realized just 24 hours later that there's a dramatically better way to start structuring customer service emails. And I only had that insight because of the pain that I was put in by constraining the hours and not allowing myself to send the email. It forced my brain to problem solve, to see more clearly. And I had countless little pains and adjustments like this occur, such that by the time I was just 2 weeks in, I had tripled my output while working half the number of hours. Now, whenever I'm under stress and need to increase my productivity, the equation that I use is subtract hours, multiply output. I'll say it again because this is the mantra. When you want to multiply output, subtract hours and you'll leverage up the other resources that you have that exist in here that allow you to amplify what you're able to accomplish outside of just dumping more hours into your week. So don't be alarmed if everything goes sideways the first week to a month that you do this. You'll miss deadlines. You might get in a little bit of trouble with your boss. You might not get as much work done. Your results might even suffer, but that's okay. That's okay. That's a sign that you're sticking with the process, which is what is gonna make it work. So take the leap of faith, compress the hours down to a fixed allotment, map out what that allotment is in your calendar, and stick to it by hell or high water, and watch as perceived importance heightens for you, as the challenge skills balance gets tighter, and as you feel this relief from not having the obligation to produce outside the hours that you've committed to working. Now, if you like this video...
All right, 12 minutes. I hope you enjoyed it. When I watched it the first time, for me it was, first of all, like, wow. It challenged a lot of biases I had about work and time, but also like at the same time, it made all just sense. It's just, that's true. Like it's something like an inner knowing that you, or I, at this before that had been and have been carrying with me. I was like, okay, yeah, it does make sense, because suddenly all the things you thought of, like, this just doesn't make sense that we, that our, everything is tied to time. I mean, especially when you work, have a job where you work a lot on your computer, it's like that, like basically a very like mind-heavy job. It's bizarre that we still have work contracts that are solely based on time, even though we know, we just know that this kind of work contracts are based, still based on then the industrial age where output equaled time spent, literally, because like we were manufacturing things, because the longer we manufacture things, the more output we created. But this is just, you know, like it's not adequate anymore with where, how majority, not all of us, but a lot of us work nowadays on in front of computers. A lot of you with your mind. I wouldn't say majority, that's a wrong statement, but we've changed a lot. And it starts also like in school, you know, like the whole curriculum is based on time. It's like from 8 a.m., I don't know, 8 a.m. until 2 p.m., 3 p.m., sometimes from 4 p.m. That's basically measured how much you learn. It's based on time. The longer you spend in school a day, the more you learn. And understanding that actually your output and your productivity is not based on time, but actually is based on focus and the ability to prioritize and really stay in a deep focus, which is called flow, for 3 to 4 hours, and you will generate more output than you would do maybe if you grind for 16 hours, because your return on investment, the things you produce, just diminishes. And we just know it. It's not, there's many, many studies on that. And I remember, and I see it also like in that this linearity bias that we think, okay, we have to put more hours in so we can produce more, is so deeply ingrained in many of us. And then you watch these people and they're like, you know, I was work some, you know, some long hours, I'm stressed, I'm exhausted. But then when you actually observe, as only you can do it when you're in the office or like in the co-working spaces, and observe what they actually do during these long hours, this sometimes 11, 12, 13, 14 hours are not filled with actually, they don't produce anything that leads to quality output. It's filled with distracted, scattered tasks that don't really push you forward in a meaningful way. Maybe like 1 millimeter everywhere instead of focusing on one thing at a time, and it pushes you forward 10 meters. And then the next thing. And for me, this trick, so when I watched this video, before it was, I tried it and immediately the week after, and I said to myself, it was last year, okay, for 1 week, I'm going to just try it. For 1 week, between 8 and 11 a.m., sometimes 12 p.m., 8 to 12 p.m., that's the maximum amount of hours I can work on what I want to work. And I was amazed. I was amazed how much I got done within 3 to 4 hours. There was so much I got done, it's almost as much as I would have done previously in 2 days. And it's really about the multiple factors that need to be in place, of course, that there needs to be a clear understanding about what is a clear understanding of the task at hand, a task that is perfectly fit for your current, you know, skill and the challenge, so you're into the flow state as well, and understanding what is important right now. And so it's not just like about like compressing your hours. It's like this next skill is really to have the mindset of A, being able to prioritize and understanding what is my clear task, first of all, Second of all, what can I do right now? Which tasks have the biggest impact? And for this, I love to use actually something called the impact effort matrix. It's commonly used, actually, I think it was invented by Lego. At least they use it there all the time. And we are using it at the moment at my current startup as well. It's such a simple matrix, which is you have two on the X axis, you have the impact scale, perceived impact, effort. And on the Y axis, you have the impact. And you have four quadrants, basically, four like. And you start in the middle and you start, okay, this task, if we focus on this thing, how much impact does it have to really move us forward? And how much effort does it take to create something? And ideally, you want to focus on the tasks that have high impact, little effort. But then you move to the next one, which have high impact and more effort. And you can like really go through this whole list and chop away one thing at a time. And so for me, I think what you really want to get out of this is like, it's a game changer. Really try to limit your working times. Instead of saying, hey, I'm starting the day today and I have 7.5 hours. No. Limit yourself. You have only 4 hours. Maybe even 3 hours. And lay out exactly what you want to accomplish in this 3 to 4 hours. And then after this, you stop. Of course, it's different when you have meetings. And I think what I'm referring to, this unprotected, uninterrupted time, is you need to protect it for things that demand you doing something, your problem solving, you creating something. And of course, nowadays, for most of us, during a day, if you're working in a, you know, kind of knowledge-based role where you need to create something on your computer, for example, you need to write something, nowadays, we are bombarded with meetings that interrupt us constantly. Because most companies don't understand that actually less meetings are better and more meetings don't solve a problem. They just ignore a deeply rooted problem within a company. Because most meetings are horrible. Many people forget, and I think this is the next thing, by default, most companies schedule a meeting for 1 hour. And then there are four people. It's not a 1 hour meeting, it's a 4 hours meeting because there are four people involved that could do something differently in 1 hour. So actually the default meeting should always be 20 or 30 minutes. Because most of the things can be discussed that. Of course, if you need longer meetings for meetings where you actually everyone really long meetings are meant for brainstorming and creating and really actively participating. But just discussing for 1.5 hours is a waste of time for most people. And most people have just a meeting as an kind of like excuse to delay the hard decisions or just, I've been in many meetings where like, why are we having this meeting? There's no decision being made. If there's no decision being made in a meeting, it's a waste of time. All right, I derail a bit. But I think that it comes back to this notion that if you are in a company and you can actually communicate to your supervisor, your manager, or like you are leading a team, the most important thing is to really give your people or protect your own time that you can have in uninterrupted time, 3 to 4 hours max. And then afterwards, you can have meetings. That's critical. Or at least if it's 3 to 4 hours, it's a lot to have 2 hours of uninterrupted time. And then you tell yourself, I only have 2 hours time to get this thing done. And you'll be amazed what it does to your productivity. Because instead of saying like I have the whole day to get this done, no, just tell yourself I have 2 hours time and then afterwards I need to stop. And this increases your perceived importance. And why is it important? Because when the founder of the flow theory, Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, kind of like looked into this and he researched a lot, like hundreds of high-performance athletes and musicians, artists, and executives. He understood like they when you're in this flow state, you're in this perfect balance between challenge and your skills. Because if you do something, a challenge or a task that is very difficult and your skills don't match this difficulty, it leads to anxiety and like, you know, wow, it's just too much. It's overwhelming. On the other hand, if you choose something where you are too skilled and the challenge is too easy, you get bored. So what you can do, especially when you have very boring tasks, you can actually find you in this challenge difficulty chart and get easier into flow states. So if you have a boring task, just give yourself a time limit. Okay, I have 10 minutes time to write, to do this, this, and this, especially for a very boring task where you're just way too skilled. You will be surprised how quickly you can get them, but also like how deeply you are in a deep flow, in a flow state. And I think one of the, when I did this, I'm still doing it, like really focusing on my uninterrupted focus time. And it's really important to communicate this to people because some don't understand it and then they just maybe walk over to your where you're sitting, just, you know, tap on your shoulder to ask something. And this will always interrupt you. And you really have to protect your time for complete focus. And so you can, get into this flow. So it's your time. It's your attention. You have to protect it. And it's not that other people are mean. It's just like they don't understand it either. So they walk around, maybe tap on your shoulder or ping you in Slack or Teams or whatever messages you have in your company. And what the implications is that actually we nowadays, it's insane with all these notifications we have. We don't understand that each notification interrupts a person's attention. It takes so much more time to get back into this state of focus and concentration. And I think the hardest part, I still working on this as well, is to don't have a product kind of like productivity guilt. They don't feel guilty when you stop working. But what it helps, because it's just a mind game. It's just, hey, you know, like you only work now this amount of hours, shouldn't you work more? It's just like this really deeply ingrained programming we have that more time equals more output. And the longer you try and the longer you trust the process, the weaker this productivity guilt becomes, this noise in your head. And because then you realize, okay, you didn't just, it's not about just like all-time productivity. It just shows, wow, you create a lot of quality output in less time. And you feel healthy, you feel energized, you feel passionate, you feel your sleep is better. You have more time to do other things for recovery, to meet your friends, to spend time with your family. And then suddenly it just all makes sense. And like all this productivity guilt of like, oh, you only work 3-4 hours a day, it become weaker and weaker the more you trust this process. And it takes time. It's not an easy thing, but you just have, you have to trust. It's a bit of a leap of faith. Mm-hmm. And I think, by the way, I've drinking amazing new tea. It's called Golden Autumn. It's also black tea with apples, cinnamon, and a lot of other great stuff. I think vanilla as well. Another thing is very important. Like when you do this, it's way more important to be consistent, to do it every day. Maybe you can start for, say, okay, I've for 1 hour. 1 hour is my maximum for this kind of tasks, and I need to protect this. It's more important to be consistent over a long period of time than do it, try to do everything at once. And we know this to be true, that it's like someone, and actually now I started last Sunday, I started learning piano. And it's an amazing masterclass. And actually this guy, the pianist, says it, he said the same thing. It's much more important to play every day for 10 minutes than have once a week a 2-hour, 3-hour really intense piano lesson. Because it's just about consistency. It's always about consistency. It's so much more important. And yeah, another thing, like these people look at, you know, like for example, like I'm a software engineer, so in my startup, I do a lot of coding. And people are sometimes surprised that I only have one screen. I've only have my MacBook, and I don't have multiple screens. I tried it for many years ago for a few times, but then I realized the more screens I have, the more distracted I am. Because it's actually such a bizarre, it's like a it's so bizarre. It's again, if you were programmed and brainwashed by marketing, that like, oh yeah, the more screens you have, the more you can do. I would say, I argue that it's actually the opposite. The more screens we have, the more scattered our minds are, is. Because the more screens you have, the more things you have open, the more things you have, kind of like, it's, you think like, oh, you know, like I can just jump easily between all the things, but that's exactly the crux in this whole thing. The more screens you have open, the more scattered you become. And with my, for example, sometimes it really makes sense to have more screens to just, for certain tasks, to have like an overview. But I realized having just one screen really focuses me. It makes me focus to have really focus at one thing at a time and really execute it well. And it works surprisingly well. Because looking, opening a browser, checking something, it, how to say, the costs are much higher because I have to swipe around, open it. But then I'm just much more focused when I swipe, open a browser, do some research. All right, now I understand it. Now I can go back and try. And yeah, I couldn't. Yeah, I love having one screen. It's a very software engineer related thing. And finally, like for me, the whole experience, I'm trying this. So now I'm working on my second startup, and compared to my first startup, which I had for 2 years. And I think even like, I remember even after 6 months in, I felt this exhaustion, because like you feel like you have to just, if you don't, a successful entrepreneur is someone who works every day, 12 hours, long hours. And that's just how it should be. I mean, it's being portrayed. And now, I mean, I remember this, like there were times where I just felt depleted, super tired, exhausted. There was depression, because it just, you're so taxed, you don't recover. And compared to the current way of doing, I'm able to produce way more quality output in less time, at the same time, feel refreshed. And the key is, I mean, it's fascinating. I work 7 days a week, but I don't work 7 days, 12 hours. I work 7 days, 4 to 5 hours. So the rest of the time is for recovery, for spending time with my friends, my family, for doing also things that are require more thinking, or just like roaming around the podcast. And I don't feel exhausted. I can do it because at the end it's about consistency. I don't have 7 days, intense days of 16 hours. I have them sometimes because it's there's a necessity, but they are outliers. And when I have these long days where sometimes you just have to do it, 12, 14 hours, yeah, happens. But I just feel a difference. I don't sleep well. The next day I feel still exhausted. And yeah, I mean, you have to get it done, but the quality is not there. It's very. I know these moments where I work long hours, it becomes very foggy. I really have to put so much more energy into thinking, but the clarity just diminishes. And we know it, that our peak time for focus quality time is 4 to 6 hours a day. All right. I can really, really recommend you trying this out. And if you have questions, sorry, just respiring. Okay, maybe I should take a sip. You can contact me at any time at gerhard@lumi.io. That's gerhard@lumi.io. I will link the email in the show notes. You can also leave a comment on the Substack, so howtounreasonable.com, and then you click on episode, you can leave a comment. If you have questions about flow state, if you want to book a one-on-one session with me, just an introductory, it's completely for free. Feel free to do it. Actually, I might link a Calendly in the show notes. You can book it for free. 30 minutes, just a basic flow, where you are, what you're doing. And yeah, if you have more questions. Yeah, this is coming to an end. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to leave a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify. This really supports the podcast. There's really, you know, this podcast is a pure, way of expressing, sharing knowledge, sharing my thoughts, sharing what's going on in my life. There's no incentive to make money with this podcast. It's just a pure joy and love project I have. And I'm really, I love doing it. And thank you for joining. Thank you for listening. And let me know how you like the flow series. And yeah, there will be more coming in the next weeks. There will always be alternating. There will be a flow episode and I will talk about the current startup or talk something about a reflection, a philosophical insight I had. This podcast is all and everything. All right. Have a wonderful day and see you next week.